Well, thank the Lord for His mercies to me this morning. Thankful that we have this opportunity to be together, to share God's Word with one with another, that we would be edified and encouraged. And if anything, that is my desire this morning, that we would all be encouraged in the Lord. And the subject matter I have to discuss and study a little bit this morning has to do with something that I believe is on an upward trend. It's not a enjoyable subject per se, but it's something that the church has endured throughout the centuries. And it's something that if you desire to live for the Lord, you're going to suffer some of this. And by the Lord's help this morning, I want to talk about spiritual persecution. And it's, again, I mentioned it's not a pretty subject. It's something that, as I mentioned, those throughout the ages that have took a stand for the Lord, we are promised that, as the scripture says, in the world you'll have tribulation. And we know that. We're all going to have trials and tribulations, temptations, those type of things. But the scripture says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So I want that to be the backdrop for all of the discussion this morning, that let's not allow ourselves to be dragged down and to be full of doom and gloom, although the world is dark and it's getting darker. And sin is and wickedness is abounding every day. It's multiplying. And we know that. But let's also not forget that the grace of God abounds as well. And He giveth more grace, the scripture says. So let's use that as the backdrop for the little discourse this morning. But I want to turn and start with 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Before I read this, I'll give a little backdrop of this book of the Bible, 1 and 2 Timothy both. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul, kind of as a father figure to his spiritually adopted son, Timothy, which was a young minister. And he was writing, if you look at both of these writings, they are profound words in that he was basically speaking from experience, just like an elder, a father would. But there's some weight behind it, because not only has he experienced these trials and tribulations, Apostle Paul has experienced the victories as well. The power to overcome, the Spirit of God working and moving in his life. And that's what the underlying message he's trying to get across to Timothy, young Timothy. And in these first few chapters, I'm not going to take time to read them all. But in the first chapter, he's talking about the afflictions of the gospel, preaching the gospel. In the second chapter, talking about the spiritual warfare and also the suffering that would be encountered. Then there's also warnings about unsound doctrine from false teachers. Then there's also more physical suffering, persecution. And then the fourth chapter talking about enduring afflictions. So this whole 2 Timothy is full of a lot of helpful advice and tips. But again, the theme of this book is we are in a spiritual battle. We are in spiritual warfare this morning. If you endeavor to live for the Lord, and that's what the scripture is talking about here in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, verse 12. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In other words, you could say it this way. If you don't live for God, you're not going to suffer the spiritual persecution. But I want to tell you this. You're still going to be persecuted by the devil. He's not going to let up on anybody, because his goal and his ambition, as the scripture says, is to devour everyone, to destroy and to kill and destroy everyone. That's the enemy of our souls. That's his ambition. That's his goal and his desire. But here again, if you desire to live a godly Christian life, let's just be warned, as Apostle Paul is saying here, you will suffer persecution. Okay? Well, let's consider, what is persecution? A lot of times, I remember, years ago, I thought of persecution. I don't know if any have read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Some very interesting stories, some very sad details of all the physical persecution that the Christians endured throughout the ages. But there's some inspiring stories in there too, where they would not give up their faith and hope in God. I read one of them just recently about Polycarp, one that was instructed and taught by the Apostle John. You know, that was a powerful story and testimony, that it's like the beast wouldn't eat him. And then they tried to burn him at the stake, and the fire just went around him. It wouldn't burn him either. And he wasn't even tied to it. He was just standing there. Wasn't running from it. But the flames wouldn't burn him. And the only way they could kill him was they had to poke him, stick him with the spear. And he actually bled to death. And the blood actually put out the fire. But the point was, he would not give in. And he was an elderly man in his 80s. And then the Roman soldiers came and got him. He didn't fight. He's like, no, he was ready. But he said, give me an hour or two to pray. And he's praying for everyone. I believe the Roman soldiers too. And he asked that the Roman soldiers would be fed. So they're sitting there waiting for an hour or two while he's praying and they're eating. And it's strange. But he had the peace of God within. He'd lived his whole life for the Lord. And that was his testimony and his prayer that God has never forsaken. How can I forsake my King? He's never forsaken me. What a powerful testimony. And went to the stake and died a martyr. But persecution, that's kind of what comes to my mind when I think of persecution. But it's actually more than that. If you research it a little bit and just dissect the word itself, the first part of persecution is per, P-E-R. It means through. But the second part is sequi, or to follow, or simply to pursue. So you combine those two, and it's through pursuing that the enemy of our souls, or whoever, is trying to get us. But it's the pursuit. It's like you're chasing something. I don't know if any of you all have ever gone hunting with dogs or something and go rabbit hunting. The little beagles and other little dogs, they're running, chasing these little rabbits, okay? And I believe there's actually a brother wrote a song about that. It's really, really interesting. But the point is that dog is pursuing the rabbit, and the rabbit's running for his life. Okay. Well, that's basically what the devil is doing to each and every one of us, is he's pursuing us. He's chasing us. And why? To devour and to kill and to steal from us. Well, so again, a lot of times we think of persecution as being, well, in modern day, how about those that have been persecuted in, say, some of the Middle Eastern countries, in Iraq and Afghanistan and in Sudan, and different ones were greatly persecuted, put to death, and some very sad stories. And there's been some here in the United States as well. But I believe it goes a little further than that. You see, and I'm not a prophet here. I'm not going to try to proclaim what's going to happen the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years. I don't know. I don't know how long this earth is going to last before God says it's enough. But perhaps one of these days in our future, we will have more physical Christian persecution in our land. Perhaps that is the case. Perhaps not. But even so, there is still a spiritual persecution going on. Something where the enemy, he's not content. Let me just say this. He is not, we'll go back to this analogy of the little beagles. There's something in them, and we've had a couple before, so I know this from experience, that there's something about it. When they see that little rabbit, they cannot resist, but they're on it just like that. And they got a little nose, and they may not see the rabbit, but they're following the trail, okay? And I didn't train the beagle to do a thing. In fact, the first time I remember one of our little beagles chasing a rabbit, we caught one in a live trap, caught a rabbit. And we just wanted to, like, well, let's see what'll happen. So we opened the cage, we're holding the little beagle back, and he's already going crazy, just seeing the rabbit there. We let the rabbit go, and he's on it like that. We didn't have to teach him anything. He knew there was just something in him. I want to tell you something. There's something in the devil that all he wants is to destroy us. And to prove the point, it started all the way back in the garden. Remember Adam and Eve? Yeah. Well, remember when Cain killed Abel? I mean, that was the first family, a death in the family, a murder. And the devil's going, yeah, got him going now. But I want to tell you something. The devil's not let up yet. He's not content till he can try to devour and destroy every one of us. Well, so this persecution, we'll look at it this way. He's seeking and following us. He's on our trail and he's on our tail. And it's something where he's not, we'll put it this way. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We're talking about the devil here, the enemy of our souls. He knows, he studies us. Do you realize that? He studies our weaknesses. And he's going to cherry pick, so to speak, some temptations down our path of life to try to ensnare us. That's exactly what he did with Adam and Eve. An apple. An apple? But that was something that was around them in their environment. Something they were used to seeing fruit. Okay? So the devil's going to tempt us with something that is close to us. Something we may be familiar with. But something the devil knows he can trip us up on. And it was a simple commandment. God told them, do not partake of this tree, the fruit of this tree. But guess what? They did. And that was the first start, if you could say, of the spiritual, albeit persecution, of the enemy of our souls. And he's continually tried to ensnare and put traps out for anyone that would try to serve and live for the Lord. Try to ensnare their souls and to trap them. But remind us again, he studies us. And what about King Solomon? Well, he was a great king. But again, the devil was watching and studying King Solomon. And he knew he had a weakness. And yes, it was through women. And that was his downfall. Had many wives and concubines. And it was through their gods and idols that they worshipped. Ended up being the trap that was laid for him. And I'm not the one to judge how he ended up. But I'll say it this way. He didn't end up as great a king as he started out with. Okay, God was blessing him greatly. Greatest kingdom on earth. Wealthiest and the wisest king. God was blessing him, but he lost all of that. And the kingdom ended up being divided after his time. But here's another one. Remember Apostle Paul, the one that wrote these letters. You know, he had, Scripture says, his bodily presence was weak and his speech contemptible. And he had some personal difficulties with, I believe, John Mark. But God knew all this was going on, but the devil was working right where they were at, okay? Knew that there were some weaknesses they had, knew that there were some, possibly some chances of some inroads, okay? But you know, the devil is going to do the same thing for you and I. He's going to study us and see what our tendencies are, see what our weaknesses are, and all those, what our appetites are, you name it. And he's going to study us and custom make some temptations that we might slip up and stub our toes someday. That's the enemy of our soul. He desires nothing more than to destroy us. Well, again, Apostle Paul was trying to prepare Timothy for some of these things. And if you look closely at some of the things I mentioned earlier, and I'm not going to take time to read these scriptures in 2 Timothy. But there is many things. First of all, the spirit of fear was mentioned. In the affairs of this life, and physical bonds, and teachers of false doctrines, and youthful lust, and wickedness of the world. Now I want to start with fear. And perhaps that's what's on all of our minds right now, especially with some of the recent happenings with the terrorists that are active in our world today, and some signs that some of it trying to happen in our own United States, our own borders. You see, the spirit of fear, that's something that the devil can have, can cause a lot of damage. Because if you are fearful, then you're not going to be active for the Lord. True? How much of a success can you be, whether it be, say, in a game of sports? You know, say playing football, a contact sport. And if you're just standing there, you know, on the line or scrimmage or whatever, and you're just trembling at looking at your opponents and looking at the defense, where they're like, oh no, you know, I'm going to get creamed here. And you just kind of stand there, you will get creamed. Okay? But the point is, if you just stand there in fear and intimidation, nothing's going to happen. Okay? You're going to be defeated. And the devil knows that in a spiritual side, that he's going to allow all these things to take place, the wars and rumors of wars and the terrorists and all these things. And just kind of, we're standing back going, oh no, it's terrible. And he's like, yeah, it is bad. And it multiplies. And then he just wants us to stand back and go, oh no, you know, and that's all he wants us to do. But in reality, we should be on the opposite side. We should be saying, oh Lord, have mercy. The request was put in this morning. Pray for our country. We should be praying for those that are being persecuted. We should be praying for the leaders and the rulers of our land. We should be praying for one another that we would stand strong. You see? And we should be willing to go out and be a positive influence in the world. Because guess what? One person can make a difference. Do you believe that? Yes, we can. One person can make a positive impact in ways you would never know. So Lord, help us that we not be intimidated by the devil, by all the spirit of fear. Because as I mentioned, not only the terrorists, I mean, there's all the fears of the biological and chemical warfare, all the bombs and the nuclear bombs, all the things that they can do. But all those things can get us distracted from what our real job and duty is, and that is to live for the Lord. That is to be a positive influence, to be an example of the believers, and to reach out to a lost and dying world. But here's another one, talking about the affairs of life. You know, the devil has an agenda to destroy us along that line too. To get us so busy and so consumed with the everyday cares of life that are our duties. It's our scriptural duties to provide for our families, okay? And we have to live, all right? We have to eat. We wear clothes. We have to go places. We got to do all those things. So we got to earn money to support all that. But the devil would love none other than for us to be so consumed in those things that that's all we focus on. I think of the story of Mary and Martha. You know, when they were serving Jesus there, Martha was the one that was cumbered about with all the duties, all right, trying to provide for everyone. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I know there's some balance here, some moderation, but the point is, let's not forget the most important aspect of our being is our soul. That we need to be like Mary. We need to spend some time sitting at the feet of Jesus. And yes, we can be up and doing all these other things for God, all these good works, which are important. Okay, that is our duty. Whether it's for our family or for our nation or for our neighborhood or for the church, whatever it be. But God is saying, don't forget the most important, that is your own soul, you see. But that is such a challenge because we all live in a fast-paced world, do we not? We all live by the clock, all right? I glance at the clock every once in a while I'm up here because we have to be mindful and courteous to one another. I could preach up here for 3 hours, but is that edifying? It may not be. It could be. But the point is, most of y'all will probably be falling asleep or leave, doing whatever, you know, you're hungry. But the point is, we live by the clock and our bodies, we have to do things to function normally. Okay? And God knows that. And the devil knows that too. But he would love none other than us to get sidetracked and us to get off course just a little bit. And spend more time doing this and spend more time doing that. And before long, we have no time for God because it's consumed with everything else. This sometimes is lawful. But again, let's not forget our souls. And another one. Teachers of false doctrines. Truly, we are compassed about with a lot of false prophets. Those that are teaching doctrines that are a hindrance to spiritual growth, a hindrance to any part of God being in their life. But here's the point. When God set up the church through Jesus Christ in the New Testament dispensation with his disciples and with the apostles, which Apostle Paul was part of it, and after the day of Pentecost, it wasn't God's original plan. Let's make this clear here. To have a multiplicity of literally thousands of denominations of churches. That was not God's plan. That's not what He started with. And we could read scriptures in Galatians and Ephesians, I believe, that talk about only one way. We sang a song about it earlier. One God, all right, one Spirit, one Word, all the different things, it's one. It's not a multiplicity. But we have in this, in our society, especially here in America, the attitude of tolerance. We're going to tolerate anyone can do anything they want to. And I want to tell you something. I appreciate the freedom and the ability that we have to meet together in worship services. But it goes far and above and beyond that. It's as if, no, I want everyone to tolerate. Basically, they want people, some in our society, want us to tolerate their sin and wickedness is what it amounts to. And the scriptures talk about calling evil good and good evil. And that's what's happening. All the different, you name it. The alternative lifestyles. And the list goes on and on of these things the scriptures clearly teach against. But they're wanting to promote their agendas. Well, you be tolerant of that and allow me to do whatever and spread my agenda to where it's mass confusion. And we have the younger generation coming up now. Well, yeah, well, my buddy did this, my neighbor did that, and they said that was... So it's just you're allowing and accepting anything and everything. And anything goes. And that bleeds over into the worship services or the doctrines that are being taught and all these things, and people cultivate these things, and it's like, and the children are being raised going, well, what is right? What is wrong? It's just a lot of gray areas. I want to tell you something. God is a God of truth. Okay? He's the one that established, He's the one that created the earth, created us as we are. Okay? He's the one that, can He not set the rules and the guidelines and the laws? And I believe He has. And then it's up for us to choose. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But the world promotes, we will serve ourselves. That's what it promotes, serving self. And we'll get into that just a little more here in a bit. But going on about these scriptures in 2 Timothy, the last one here, youthful lust. We have, again, I feel for the young people, the teenagers, because there's a level of peer pressure that they have to deal with that I didn't have to deal with when I was younger. That's just a fact. I still have to deal with them now as an adult, but I've matured a little more. I understand. I've seen more of life. I see more of the dangers and the traps of the enemy and these things where the teenagers, they're green. They don't understand. They don't really realize it. That's why it's so critical that parents be involved with their children. But the youthful lust, it warns us about. The peer pressure. All the different forms of media out there that can totally taint your mind to the point where you don't know what is right or wrong anymore. Where it totally dilutes the truth that maybe you've been taught. I mentioned this not too long ago, I believe, to the young people. But I know of a gentleman right now. He's a young man. He's gone to college. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go to college. I went to college myself. But there is a danger. This young man grew up in a Christian home. Good family. Good, solid Christian family. And he went to a college. It was a local college. It wasn't one way out on the east or west coast or somewhere. But went to a local college. And he has turned, after a few, 3 or 4 years of it, he's basically turned into an atheist. Totally will not accept anything that their family tries to do in family worship, bowing the heads, offering grace and blessing the food and any. He just will not refuse it. Just doesn't want anything to do with it. And the parents, they don't know what to do. But come to find out, it was some of his instructors and some of the influences and the peers and the pressures he received from college that now he's a different fella. And that's so sad. And the parents, they don't know what to do. They just keep, you know, doing their best and trying to reach out to him. And he doesn't even appreciate anything they do for him. The food they fix for him, all the things they do for him, doesn't appreciate anything. It's just like he's turned a switch. It's all just rejected it. That's so sad. I want to tell you something. That's the pressures of the world. That it can come on the job. It can come anywhere through any type of acquaintance. Maybe it's a friend. I've cautioned the young people many a times. Be careful who your friends are. All right? Be cautious. Don't just accept anyone. Because the devil will use any tool he can. Remember, he's after you and I and after our souls. He's going to use any avenue to get to us to destroy us. Now let's take it to another level. Gets a little closer to home. We've touched on this recently in talking about loving our enemies and dealing with hatred and so on and so forth. But it gets into personal relationships. You see, it's easy to think of persecution as being something out there, you know, way out there in the world. And it's true, it's there. But sometimes it can get closer to home where it's more of our daily, weekly relationships and interactions. And the devil can use things to get us to thinking, oh, well, they just don't like me because they did this or they said that. Or man, they really let me down. They disappointed me. I was expecting this and that's what they did instead or whatever. I mean, it can be a variety of things. But I want to caution us here this morning. Let's not look at whether it's a family member or someone in the church or maybe it's our neighbor. Let's not look at them as they specific are our enemy. What does the scripture in Ephesians 6 say? Let's turn and read that. Because this is a very key point that we need not forget. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Then it talks about taking on the whole armor of God. But the caution is here this morning, Lord help us all. When we get into a relationship challenge, let's not look at that other person and say, man, I just wish, you know, they would go away or God would just do something, you know, strike them ill or do this to them or try to get their attention that way they lay off of me or whatever the case is. But Lord help us to look at this and say, you know what? The devil's going to try to use my interaction with them to destroy me. Now, most of us aren't going to sit there and tell ourselves that. But here's, when we take these things, our troubles, our trials and tribulations to the Lord, and the scripture says, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Then we really take those things to the Lord. You know what he's going to do? He's going to start revealing to us that, you know what? Maybe that individual that's giving you such a hard time, you know what? They actually are having a more difficult time than you. And you need to reach out to them in love and compassion and understanding. Because you don't know what they're going through. And guess what? No one else can tell you that. Well, let me back up. Yes, people can tell you that, but you won't accept it. Is that true? Usually. It's hard to accept that type of advice from someone else. But when the Lord tells you that, that gets your attention. It's like, okay, you know what? You're right, Lord. And you start backing off of that situation and realizing, you know what? There's something to that, Lord. I didn't see that before. It's because we're human and God is an all-seeing God. He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. That's not only ours, but everyone else's too. So he knows their intentions. They may not be trying to hurt you. They may be hurting so bad inside and wounded so they don't know what to do. And they're venting their anger and their frustrations on you. And you're the easiest target. But the Lord's saying, don't lash out at them. Don't lash out at them. You take it to me. Take your burdens to me, the Lord is saying. Because they are not your enemy. That's what the scripture is saying. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Against the spiritual wickedness. It's the enemy working behind the scenes through sin, destroying lives and causing pain and heartache and discontentment and anger and vengeance and wrath on everyone else. And people are just mad sometimes because of sin. That's what's happening. That's who we need to be fighting against and warring against is sin and wickedness and the devil. So let's not forget that. Now, we'll take it one more notch. This gets even closer because this is talking about self. It's talking about me. It's talking about you. We know It's been said that we are our own soul's greatest enemy. And I believe that is true. And the devil knows that too. Because we can, through God's grace, we can, if I could say, master or get the victory over maybe the extreme persecutions of the world. God gives us victory over that. Then it comes down to the closer relationships with those around us. And God can give us victory over that. But then it comes down to our personal being. Such as some weaknesses, maybe some personal failures that we've had in our life that God has already helped us with. God's delivered us, but it's still in our memory. We haven't forgot about them. And the devil will like to throw those back up over and over and over. Even if we've committed to the Lord and we've asked forgiveness, but the devil is so good, so bad. He is very ingenious about finding ways to bring up our past and finding ways to remind us of the sins maybe, yes, we did commit, but we've asked forgiveness, it's under the blood. But the devil is going to say, but what about this? And what about that? And it's just a turmoil and torment within. It's a battle of the mind, like, oh, Lord, you forgave me that, didn't you? And the Lord's saying, yes, it's under the blood. But the devil keeps bringing it back, just tantalizing you to where you're disturbed. You don't have the peace of God within, and you don't know how to interact and deal with other people because you're dealing with your own situation, your own problems. And the devil loves that. When we start being consumed with our own issues, our own past failures, our weaknesses, and maybe it's some hopes and dreams that were never achieved, and the devil will say, yeah, what about that? God never gave you that, did he? Oh no, he doesn't like you anymore. You see what I'm saying? That's how the devil works. He is none other than a big bully. Just someone trying to mull us over, trying to rough us up, harassing us. A bully, I think, is the best word. Just trying to annoy us. All right? That's the devil's business. But again, it's a battle of the mind, bringing up things from the past. And it's also, you can flip it to the other side. There's also times where the devil will say, you're not doing enough. Have you ever had the devil say that to you? Oh, you should be doing that, and you should be doing this, and you should, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I need to, you know. And the devil just has you running in circles, trying to do all these other things, and it kind of goes back to the Mary and Martha thing, where you're just focusing on the deeds, you know, all the physical, you know, doing things for one another, and that's good. And the devil's saying, aha, I got them busy running in circles, and now they're forsaking their own soul. They're not feeding their own soul, you see. So that's another pressure the devil will try to put on us. But I like what the Apostle Paul said. He says, I die daily. And there's times where he said, I have to give myself a punch in the eye. In other words, there's times where he has to say, no, I got to stop. I got to think about, Lord, help me and my soul. Because a situation may arise and all of a sudden, woo, here comes an attitude. It may not even be about the other person. It may be about ourselves. Where it's hard to forgive ourselves sometimes. You realize the devil does that too? Where maybe you can forgive all these other people, but then the devil's saying, yeah, what about you? And you did this and this and this and this. You're like, oh, you're right. And just this cloud comes over you. That's not of the Lord. God is a God of hope, a God of love, a God of deliverance, a God of peace. The scripture says God is not the author of confusion. Let's not forget that this morning. When you start getting these confused signals of, well, God, I felt good this one day and you forgave me and I got peace about it. Now I'm doing good and all this. And all of a sudden the next day it's, oh, a total opposite. Beware. That's the enemy of your soul is trying to steal your peace and trying to say, oh, you shame on you. You shouldn't have done that. And why are you feeling that way? If you're such a good Christian, you shouldn't be feeling these bad thoughts. You ever had that before? That's the devil talking to you. Don't listen to it. Say, shut up, bully. I don't want to hear it. Cast those thoughts aside. Read Philippians 4 and 8. Think on these things. It's a whole long list of things. Read that. Memorize that. That's what we need to be feeding upon. Things of God. Things of truth. Things that are holy. Things that are pure. And a good report. Then there's another part of this. Someone mentioned, I don't remember him saying it myself, but Brother O.C. Porter was a minister years ago. And he made this statement, and I'll quote him. He says, there's times where you can't even see how to straighten your own pole. You know what that's referring to? You see, years ago, they had these things. Well, we've had some in modern days too. But it used to be much more prevalent. Little tent meetings, okay? And they put up these tents. And if any of you all have ever helped put up a large tent, usually there's at least one big pole in the middle, all right? And I don't know how many times I've helped put up tents. And it's like, man, I wish I had about a 15-foot level so I could see, you know, to get that pole straight. Because I'm standing here and I got this pole lined up and I'm looking at it like, you know, that looks really straight to me. And someone over here is looking at it and they're like, no way, man, you're off about 5 inches. You need to move that way. And then the person over here, they're looking at it and going, no, you need to move that way. So you're going all around. You're like, well, I don't know how to. You can't do it. When you're just standing there, you can't see how to straighten your own pole. But you know what Brother O.C. Porter was getting at? He's getting at this part. As the scripture says in Hebrews, that God is the one, He's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. That we don't know ourselves. We may be really crooked over here, and everyone else is looking at it and going, yeah, that's way off. But the key is we need to be seeking God. Not asking for everyone else's opinions. Well, which way do you want me to? Oh, I need to go this way. What do you think? Okay, I go this way. No. Look to the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that can set our feet upon a solid rock. Deliver us out of the miry clay. Deliver us from ourselves, our own past defeats, our own struggles and things and failures. We've stubbed our toes before, and maybe it is crooked. And the Lord's saying, just let me take that. Let me straighten that for you. Let me deliver you from this. Let me give you the peace that passeth understanding. Let me give you all the mind of Christ. All right? That's what God wants to do for us. But so many times we just sit there and we want to try to straighten her up. And that's all. We just spend time. We're just trying to straighten our own pole. We're trying to do it on our own. No, you need to ask the Lord. Ask His advice. Ask for His input. You know how you get that? It's through praying and reading His Word. Coming to worship service. Surrounding yourselves with good Christian friends. The good influences. That's how you do it. It's not a complicated recipe. God has laid it all out for us. But it's up to us to decide, who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve everyone else's opinions? Are we going to serve the world out there? Are we going to serve the devil? Are we going to serve ourselves? No. Choose ye this day who you will serve. And as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's where we have to make up our minds. I want to tell us again, the devil's going to push us. And if pushing's not going to work, he's going to chase us. Pursuing, okay, just like the little rabbit and the dog, where we're just running for our life and that's all we can do. I want to encourage us this morning. We have someone in Psalms 23. I'm not going to read it all. We have what we call the Good Shepherd. We have someone that can deliver us from the pursuer, the persecutor, the devil. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what that means? He's going to provide all of our needs. Whether it's the peace we need in our hearts, the peace in knowing that God has forgiven us, the peace in knowing that God's going to take care of all our worries and cares in the future. We're trying to work out all the details of our life. And it seems like I've been praying and praying about this situation. It seems like nothing's working out. But the scripture says, one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good. You see, it may be God is allowing some of those things in your life to purge out some of self. All right? To purge out some things that are in the way. Some areas where you are trying to align your own pole, so to speak. You're the one trying to manage your own life. Or maybe you're allowing someone else to manage your own life. You see, God's wanting to purge all of those things out to where He becomes our all in all. He becomes the Lord and Savior personally in our lives. He's the one, He's the first one I go to when I have a problem. You see, where a lot of times people want to pick up the phone or get on the computer or go walk and talk to so-and-so and tell them all their problems. And that's good. We need one another. But let's remember what's most important. We need to tell our troubles to the Lord. We need to cast all our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us like a good shepherd. He knows what we have need of. And here's the other awesome thing. As I mentioned earlier about Polycarp, he was in his 80s, I believe, when he was martyred. But that was his, in his prayer, when he's standing there with the flames around him, he's like, how can I turn against my Lord and Savior, my King, that has done all this for me for my whole life? And Lord, help us that when we feel the pressures of this world, we feel the enemy hot on our trail, let's look back and remember all the times God has provided for us. All the times God has delivered us when it looked like it was too late. But God still had a plan for a reason. Then it looked like there's no hope. But God delivers just in time. He knows the perfect. We don't know. All right. We're just humans. We didn't create this world. I didn't create my body. I didn't create the church of God. I didn't write the scriptures. I didn't do it. God did all of that. And if He can do all of those things, can He not put your own life back in order? He is a God of order. He is a God of peace. He's a God of, what's the word I'm looking for? He's a God of all of our cares, all of our troubles. He's a one-stop shop. Whatever it is you have needs, whether it's physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, the devil's hot on your trail, run to the Lord. He will never fail you. He'll never forsake us. His promises are true. I've never seen God back up on His word. Have any of you all? No. I've never heard of anyone say, well, God, He didn't do what He promised. He failed me. I've never heard anyone say that my whole life. I'm 38 years old. And I'm thinking, you know what? If He's brought me this far, and He's brought all my other brothers and sisters this far, you know what? He can take me on to glory. It doesn't matter come what may. Yes, we may have some more persecution. It may get more physical and more extreme. But who's in control? This good shepherd. The shepherd of my soul. The shepherd of your soul. The shepherd of all the enemies out there. If we could say it. The terrorists, okay? Let's just be blunt about it. God loves them too. You know what? God can save them as well. What's the scripture say? There's nothing impossible with God. God can do anything. So Lord, help us that we do our part. We feel the troubles, the pressures coming in. Take it to the Lord. And you see someone else struggling? Take that to the Lord too. And maybe God would have you reach out to them. Because as I mentioned earlier, you never know the power of influence that you have in your little sphere, in your little life. You never know how you may affect in a positive way and a negative way. But Lord, help us all. If we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our good shepherd, He's going to provide all of our needs and the needs of our loved ones as He sees fit. This is His kingdom. This is His earth. This is His church. I'm so thankful that the weight of it is not on me and it's not on you. The scripture says the government is on my shoulder. That's the Lord's shoulder. I'm thankful this morning we have such a blessed hope. Such a blessed consolation. Let me close in one scripture. Hebrews 6, verse 18 and 19. It says here, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. The point is, we can have... we can know that God has saved us and God has delivered us. And we can know God is going to see us all the way through to the end. It's an anchor to the soul, a hope. We sang about hope earlier. We can have that hope of not just eternal life, but hope of the power and the grace necessary to persevere through this Christian race all the way to the end. If we look to the author and finisher of our faith, you pray for me that I would be faithful.